Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome back to the RTC Weekly Download, where we play famous programs from old-time radio, and they're all pretty good, we think, anyway. I hope you do, too. Well, today's program is kind of crime-themed. It's Old West crime theme and something from the 40s, 1949. But let's start out with the Old West. It's Gunsmoke, Matt Dillon and the Bunch. This one's called, interestingly enough, Dodge Podge. You'll recall they're from Dodge City is where the show takes place. So Dodge Podge from 1957.
City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
There's times it can be real nice, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, what can be real nice?
Dodge City can. Now, take a week like this last one with fine weather and the prairie all green before the June sun scorches it and people staying out of trouble.
Well, that won't last long, Chester. The trail herds are starting to roll in.
Doggone it all, Mr. Dillon. You just won't never let a person pleasure himself at all.
Sorry, Chester.
I didn't say it was always nice. I said right now it's nice.
All right, Chester. I didn't mean to bust your balloon.
Well, you sure done it.
No, I didn't mean nothing by it.
Well, looky there. There's young Packy Sutter.
Yeah, let's go see what it's all about.
My goodness, Slave's going to twist that boy's arm right off if he ain't careful.
We'll get no thanks for poking our noses into a family row.
Rolled
into town with him, Paul. I can't see nothing
wrong in that.
Maybe I'll learn you to see a little different.
Paul, please!
Hey, late. Mind your own
What's
business.
What's the trouble?
Oh, you, Marshal.
That boy's getting pretty near as big as you are, Leif. If you're not careful, one of these days he's going to turn on you.
He lift a hand to me just once, I'll take a horse whip and cut him to ribbons.
But all I done was to ride into town with Mr. Roll.
You mean Jason Roll, Packy?
Yes, sir. I met him on the trail south of the
creek. Shut your mouth, boy. Now get on over the livery stable and wait for me. And whenever I'm ready to go home, you better be setting that wagon seat. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Still wet behind the ears and back talking like you was grown up.
Why are you so worked up against Jason Roll, Leif?
Because he's no good, that's why. I told that boy of mine 24 times, stay shy of him. He's going to learn to do it if I have to beat him to death.
And if that's what you're figuring on, you better do it outside of Dodge.
You button into a man's right to teach his family discipline?
Discipline's
Marshal?
One thing, but a grown man beating a boy with his fist is something else, and that's what you were doing when we walked
He knowed what to expect. He's been told enough.
Told what? Jason Rowe's pretty well liked, as far as I've ever heard.
Listen, I aim to raise Packy up to be a cattleman, to take over the ranch someday, to run it with his own two hands. I aim to be proud.
All right, so
I ain't raising him up to be no good book-reading poet. Just enough sense to plant a bean patch and live off in a herd of scrawny sheep. And I told that boy to stop hanging around that no good role.
So have I, Mr. Sutter.
How are you, Jason?
Marshal? It wasn't because I don't enjoy his company that I told him to stay away, but because I knew it was making trouble for him with you. But I've no intention of trying to convince him by beating him to a pulp.
I ain't sure you're man enough.
I am sure, though. That's why I don't have to go around proving it 24 hours a day.
You trying to start something with me?
I think it's already started, Sutter. As long as you can find your attack on me to talk, I wasn't greatly concerned. But I don't like being shot at from ambush.
What do you mean, shot at? When was this?
Last week, Marshal. Maybe Sutter can tell you more about it.
You claiming I tried to shoot you in the back?
As a matter of fact, my back was turned. Odd that you knew.
I never even been near that shack of yours.
I think you're a liar, Sutter.
Too bad you ain't wearing a gun when you say that.
Suppose you take yours off. You outweigh me 20 pounds. That ought to be fair
enough.
Or
maybe you're scared of guns. Is that it?
You're right. I am scared of guns. I've seen too many of them not to be.
Like I said, Marshal, just a sheep herder that likes to read books. Roll. You keep away from my boy. You hear me?
Any friend who comes to my door is welcome, and that includes Packy. And another thing, Sutter. From tonight on, I'll be wearing a gun.
I'm mighty glad to hear that. Mighty glad. I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, you better get somebody to learn you how to load it.
Marshal, that boy ought to be taken away from him.
Well, that'd be pretty hard to do, Jason. The law gives him not a lot of leeway where his own family's concerned.
Packy's a good youngster. But his father's killing the spirit in him.
He may do more killing than that, Jason, if you give him a chance.
By wearing a gun, you mean? No, Marshal. I'm afraid he's worked himself up to a point now where he'll try, whether I'm armed or not.
What started all this, anyway?
Packy happens to like me. And I've talked to him and given him books to read. Leif's a cattleman, and I run a few sheep. Maybe that's reason enough in itself.
Yeah, maybe.
Mostly, though, I think it's because he's scared. That's why he's always blustering, trying to cover up. And he knows I see it, so he hates me. And deep inside, he's scared of me, too.
That's possible.
The worst enemy you can have in the world is a man who's scared of you.
Yeah. I know that, Jason, but I wasn't sure you knew it.
By golly, is this mighty strange looking cadaver, all right? Oh, hand me that scalpel, will you, Matt, please?
Is this the one you mean, Doc?
Huh? Oh, yes, of course. Thank you.
You know, it's a fine way for a grown man to be spending his time, Doc, poking around on the inside of a dead prairie dog.
It's a rare opportunity, Matt. Rare opportunity.
No?
The Hawkins kids brought me three of them this morning. Found them out south of town.
Rare opportunity for what, Doc?
Matt, how many dead prairie dogs did you ever see?
Well, I... come to think of it...
Ah, that's just what I mean. A prairie dog's a tough little animal. Oh, they get killed by hawks and snakes, coyotes, and so forth. But they don't just up and die.
No, I guess not.
Yeah? Come on in. Door's unlocked.
Hi, Doc.
Oh, well, Packy's...
Come on in, Packy.
I was looking for you, Marshal.
Huh?
Chester said you might be up here.
What can I do for you, son?
Well, nothing much, I reckon. I just wanted to talk, I guess.
Yeah, go right ahead. I'm through here. Why don't you two talk out there in front room while I kind of clean up in here?
All right, Doc. Come on, Packy.
You know, Marshal, Paul just wailed the daylights out of me. He was madder than a wet hen.
Yeah. Well, maybe there won't be much more of that, Packy. You're about grown up now.
Paul keeps saying he aims to be proud of me, make a man out of me.
Maybe he just wants you to be everything he missed being.
Oh, Paul talks real loud, real bravo. But I don't think he is at all.
Well,
why does he hate Mr. Rolls so much? I don't see nothing wrong with him. I like him.
So do I.
He knows things. Most anything you think of, Mr. Rolls knows about. And he tells you, so you know, too. Sure is a mighty big world, the way he tells about it.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Dodge City ain't all of it, or the prairie. It's bigger than that. And I aim to see for myself, learn all about it.
Well, once you're grown up, I guess you can do about anything you want to, Peggy.
Growing up's kind of hard to do sometimes, Marshal.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. A lot of people never make it, Peggy.
You know, Mr. Dillon, it just ain't nothing like a half dozen fried eggs to start a man off right in the morning.
Yeah, I imagine a hog wakes up with pretty much the same feeling, Chester.
Well, a good appetite is a sign of good health.
Well, then I'd say you're about the healthiest man west of St. Louis.
Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words might
never... Mind if I join you, Marshal?
Ah, Jason, glad to have you. Sure, sit down.
Morning, Chester.
Hi, Mr. Rowe.
You're up and around early today, aren't you?
I'm just going through town, as a matter of fact. I've got a timber cabin up in the Chirawas. The snows during the winter damaged it some. I'm going to spend a week putting it back in shape.
Uh-huh. I see you're wearing a gun.
I meant what I said, Marshal.
Well, now, Mr. Rowe, wearing a gun is one thing, but knowing how to use it when the time comes is another.
I'm familiar with guns, Chester.
Tell me something, Jason. You've led troops, haven't you?
Why do you ask that?
I'm not asking exactly. It's more a matter of guessing.
Well, during the War of the Rebellion, I served as a captain. 29th New York Volunteers assigned to the 7th Cavalry.
Uh-huh. Do me a favor, would you, Jason?
If I can, Marshal.
Stay clear of Sutter. Let me talk to him. Let me see if I can knock some sense into his head.
I've no intention of looking him up and calling him. But I doubt that'll make any difference, Marshal. He's like a blind, mad bull, ready to charge anything that moves.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
Marshal, I want to know what's happened to Packy. I ain't seen him.
Morning, Sutter.
You're behind this, you sneaking rat. It's just about time you...
All right, hold it, Lee. Get your hand away from that car.
Let him repair him. Let him go. Loose or give it.
All right, settle down now. What's the matter with you, anyway?
Becky's gone. Run away during the night. Well, ask Roe. He knows he put him up to it.
Have you seen Packy, Jason?
Not since yesterday out there in the street when Sutter was trying to beat him half to death.
You're lying. You're hiding him out somewhere.
Sutter, since you seem determined to force this, watch.
Hmm? Well, my goodness, that was the fastest draw I ever seen. My gracious.
Marshal, I think I'll push on. I'll eat breakfast on the trail. I'll see you in about a week.
Have a good trip, Jason. All right, Leif, there's your gun. If you know what's good for you, you'll keep it in its holster.
You might as well keep a cell ready, Marshal. I'll kill him, no matter how fast he is.
I don't think I'll bother with a cell, Leif. If you do try it, what you're going to need's a grave.
a drink with me?
Yeah, I could use a beer.
Good. Sam, shuffle up a pitcher of beer, will you?
Sure, Kate.
Yeah, sit down, Matt.
Thank you. Say, you got quite a crowd tonight.
Yeah. Circle B bar herd came in about dark with 40 riders, and the Kern averred about an hour later. I guess we'll be open all night.
Yeah.
Here's your beer, Kitty.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Put it on the house tab, will you?
Sure.
You know, I can't figure these trail drivers, Kitty. They work all winter long, make a 1,500-mile cattle drive, and then blow their whole wages in 3 nights.
One night, a lot of them. Then they have to borrow money to eat on until they head back to Texas. But I guess that's the way they like it.
Yeah, I guess so.
You found my boy yet, Marshal?
No, not yet, Leif.
Are you even trying?
As much as I know how to. He hasn't been seen on any of the trails out of town. I check with everybody I can.
Why don't you check with Jason Rowe? That's who he's gone with.
You heard what Jason said this morning. He was going into the Chirawas, be gone a week or more.
And he took back you with him.
I talked to the driver of the Pueblo stage this afternoon. He saw Jason roll at Rhyolite Pass, and he was alone. You're letting your hate twist your thinking, Leif.
I wouldn't trust that Jason roll no further, and I can see him.
Well, that's up to you. But it seems to me your main concern ought to be your son, not your feud with Jason.
It is. If anything happened to that boy, I'd... Marshal. You find Peck. You find him and fetch him back home. You hear me?
I'll do what I can, Leif.
You find him and fetch him back.
Funny, Matt. How personal let a hate get hold of him without any real reason that it's riding that way.
Yeah. And ride him right into the ground more than often.
Matt, you think Jason did help Packy run away?
No, I think the boy just got tired of being cuffed around, that's all.
Yeah, but still, Leif worships that kid.
Yeah, I suppose he does in his own way.
It's like a jealousy, almost. Leif wants the boy to look up to him like he does to Jason.
Well, we'll never get him to do it by slapping him in the head.
Well, I guess we can't solve everybody's problems, Matt.
No, I gave that up a long time ago.
Mr. Dillon.
Huh? Oh, what is it, Chester?
Looks like maybe we kind of got took in by Jason Rowe.
Oh, well, what do you mean?
Well, it appears like he didn't go to the Chirawas after all. I reckon he must have circled back.
What?
Well, a homesteader just came in from out that way and said there's a light in Jason's cabin. He's lied to us, Mr. Dillon.
We better go out and see him before Sutter finds out.
He already has. He heard about it the same time I did, and he just this minute took out of here like a big-footed bird.
All right, let's go, Chester.
Jason's cabin's just around the bend there, Mr. Dillon. Still ain't no sign of Sutter.
Oh.
We must have passed him somewheres on the way out.
Maybe. Well, it looks like that homesteader was telling the truth, Chester. There's a light in the cabin there.
Sure, by golly, there sure is. Well, this ain't the first time I've been wrong about a man.
Yeah, but Jason's not the kind to lie. Let's leave our horses here.
All right, sir. He would have had plenty of time to circle back, though, even if he was seen at Rhyolite.
I guess so. All right, let's go.
It is kind of disheartening, though, ain't it? When you figure a man lied to you.
I know you're in there, Rose.
There, Sutter, over there in the brush.
Come on, you rotten coward.
Leif, hold it.
Hey, look, somebody's opening the cabin door.
Get out of the light. Get away from that door.
Shot him, Mr. Dillon. Shot him, Sutter. Shot him down in cold blood.
Maybe he isn't dead. Let's go see.
Marshal, tell him, Leif. Put down that rifle. We're going to the cabin.
Sure, Marshal. I
guards in ambush without giving him no chance at all.
Here, give me a hand, Chester. Help me turn him over.
Maybe there's a little tent and still open.
Oh,
Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, it's just what I thought.
I'll take my medicine, Marshal. But I don't reckon a jury will go too hard on a man for shooting somebody that kidnapped his son.
Leif, I told you that hate was gonna twist your thinking. Jason Rowe is somewhere on the Chirawas.
Huh? Are you telling me that this ain't Jason?
Blackie.
It was a good shot, Leif. One bullet right through the heart. Your son never knew what hit him. Frontier was a great half-circle with one end anchored in the Dakotas and the other in Texas. And through this ran a score of passageways to the west. Trails like the Santa Fe, the Overland, the Bozeman, the Goodnight. Well, next week, our story centers around a band of people traveling west on one of these trails.
Directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
That was Gunsmoke, Dodge Podge from 1957. Now we're moving into 1949 and Dragnet. Same Dragnet you remember from television if you watch the old reruns on MeTV and other places. And this is the radio show version of it. This is called, well, this was actually the 10th in the series. It's called Homicide Maniac. So that sounds scary. From 1949.
Here's another in NBC's great parade of new shows.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
NBC brings you Dragnet. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to homicide. There's a mad killer at large in your city. A woman has been brutally slain, the body mutilated. The picture is clear. The killer has a thirst for blood. Your job, get him.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime, investigated and solved by the men who unrelentingly stand watch on the security of your home, your family, and your life. For the next 30 minutes, transcribed in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, January 12th. It was raining in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of Homicide. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Ed Backstrand, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. I was on the way back from the morgue, and it was 11:23 p.m. when I got to room 42. Homicide.
Hi, Joe. Chief wants to see you. He's in there with Romero.
Thanks, Chandler. How's the wife?
Fine. How about your mother?
Better, thanks.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Right in. Sit down.
Did they post the body yet?
In the morning. Pretty messy. Strangled and mutilated.
The guy's a maniac, Skipper. The body shows it.
A murder like this, anybody's a suspect.
The coroner looked at the body. He says the weapon was a long, sharp instrument.
Found her in a hotel down on East 3rd Street. Manager's son discovered her about 7:30.
You talked to him?
It was too much for him. He passed out. Manager wasn't home. We'll check with him before midnight.
Close to it now, Joe. We better get going.
All right. The boys from the crime lab checked the room.
They're still down there, Ed. The place is a mess.
And get back as soon as you can. We're working straight through on this thing.
That's a hot shot.
I'll get it.
At the Lux Hotel, room 219, corner of South Grand and Cordova. Dead body. Possible homicide. The Lux Hotel, room 219, corner of South Grand and Cordova. A dead...
What is it, Friday?
Lux Hotel, possible homicide.
Busy night.
Yeah. You coming, Ed?
Right. Let's go.
Six minutes later, Ed Backstrand, Ben, and I pulled up in front of the Lux Hotel. The manager met us at the door and led the way up a narrow stairway to the second floor. The room number was 219. We were prepared for the worst. We got it.
You're right, Romero. The guy must be a maniac.
2 hotels, 2 murders. The same M.O. 3 of us made a brief inspection of the room at the Lux Hotel. We took a few notes on the appearance of the girl's body and a brief description. Apparently, she'd been strangled to death first, and then her body brutally mangled. Ben and I went back down to the lobby, and the manager, a Mr. Ford, showed us the house book. The girl was registered together with a man, Mr. and Mrs. Philip Grant. We took the hotel register to have it checked for fingerprints and to photostat the handwriting. Ben notified the crime lab. Then we went back to the room and questioned the manager.
Mr. and Mrs. Philip Grant, that's all I know. I never saw either one of them before tonight.
When did they check in, Mr. Ford?
About 3 hours ago. That's right, about 9. Maybe a little before.
Did they register together?
Yeah, a little before 9. They came in together.
Did you let them in the room?
Yes, sir, like I always do. It's a small place here, maybe not first class, but I treat people right.
What did the man look like? Do you remember?
I think so. Kind of tall. Young, maybe 30 or so. Husky fella. Had a mustache.
How tall would you say, Mr. Ford?
Oh, about your height, Wade. Must have been at least 180. Seemed like a nice fella.
Would you know him if you saw him again?
I think so. People sure don't act like they look. You think it was him?
Can you think of anybody else?
Well, no. I never saw him before tonight, either one of them. I don't know anything about it.
Did you notice anything in particular about them when they came in?
Well, he didn't show it, but it looked like she'd been drinking a little. Giggling, you know.
And you didn't see this man Grant leave the hotel?
No, I didn't. I must have been checking the account books back of the desk. Guess he got by me.
Is there a back entrance to the hotel, Mr. Ford?
No, he had to come out this way, all right.
How about the fire escape?
I never thought of that. Say, I bet you cops think I'm trying to hide something.
How did you happen to find the body?
I don't know anything about it, honest. I've been running the hotel for 10 years now. Everybody knows me around here. You can ask at the bank.
All right, Mr. Ford. Now, would you mind telling us how you happened to find the body?
I don't want a lot of lousy newspaper publicity. Give the place a bad name. Can you blame me?
The newspapers won't get your name from us. All we want to know is how you happened to find the body.
Well, I told you. It's a small place here, but I like to treat people right. couple hours after they checked in, I remembered I forgot to fill the ice water pitcher in the room. So I got some and took it up. The door was opened a little ways. It's got a bad catch on it. And the lights were on. I peeked in, and there she was. She was... Well, the guy must have been crazy.
Do you remember what time it was when you found her?
Well, just before I called the cops, about 11:30, I guess.
All right, Ford, that's all for now. When the other officers get here, show them up, will you?
Yes, sir, I sure will.
Romero?
Yes, Skipper?
Get on the phone downstairs and call the Metropolitan Division. Have them send us every available man from the reserve unit. We're going to patrol the area for the rest of the night.
Right, Chief.
Least we can do is make it hard for him. Two murders in 7 hours.
Yeah, both of them in a 3-block radius.
Yeah, same pattern. It's got to be the same guy.
All right, we got a description. What do you think?
Well, when the reserve unit shows up, have them cover this whole section of town. Pick up everybody who even comes close to that guy's description.
All right, Ed.
It's got to go fast. We can't lose a minute. 1 hour either way, it might mean another body. Like this one.
9 minutes later, at 4 minutes past midnight, the men from the crime lab showed up. It started to drizzle. They went over the room in detail. They dusted everything in the room for fingerprints, the walls, the doors, the fixtures in the bathroom, the lamps, chairs, everything. They took samples of the girl's blood and her lipstick. Small pieces of flesh and human hair were found under the girl's fingernails. The nails were scraped carefully and the contents put in an envelope, marked and sealed. Ed Backstrand ordered pictures taken of the room and the girl's body from different angles. Every object in the room that could have any possible tie-in with a murder was photographed. It was raining. The rear of the hotel where the fire escape was overlooked a vacant lot. Ben had a hunch. While the lab men were at work, we left the hotel and circled around into the lot for a look at the ground directly underneath the fire escape ladder. It was raining hard now.
Must be an easier way to make a living. Mud's almost up to my knee.
Mine too. Watch your step. See any prints?
No. Wait till my wife sees these new shoes.
Put it on your expense account.
All real funny.
Ben, get that light over here. Look.
Yeah. Good set of prints. Lucky that rain didn't start turning to wash them out by now.
Yeah. Hand me that cover from the trash can over there. I'll cover them. Wait a minute.
What?
Here, on the edge of the fire escape ladder.
Small hunk of cloth. Man's suit?
Well, looks like it. Might have caught himself in that sharp corner. I got it. All right, come on, let's get back.
Yeah, out of this mud bath. Joe.
Huh?
Let me have a light.
You catch anything?
Hunk of wrapping paper in that trash can. Stains on it.
Open it up.
Look.
Yeah. Butcher knife. We went back to the Lux Hotel, room 219. The lab men were tearing the room apart. It was 10 minutes to 1. We gave the blood-stained knife and the piece of cloth we found on the fire escape to Lieutenant Lee Jones, head of the crime lab. We told him about the footprints just below the fire escape ladder.
The knife will help us, so will the cloth. I don't know about the footprints. You say you covered them?
That's right, Lee. They still look in pretty good shape.
Maybe we can do something if the rain hasn't broken them down too bad. Bracken.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
You and Sloan get downstairs and take a look at those prints. If they're good enough, get a torch, dry them out, make a cast, right?
Okay, Lieutenant. Come on, Sloan.
That's about all I can do for you now, Ed. I think we got everything there is to get.
All right, Jones. I'll follow you back to the lab in a couple of minutes.
Okay, Ed.
Good luck, fellas.
Thanks, Lee. We're going to need it.
All right, Friday. Romero. It's your baby for the rest of the night.
Did he get anything?
A few prints, a woman's purse under the bed. Don't know if it's hers or not. No identification.
You going to be at the crime lab, Ed?
All night. As soon as we find anything, I'll let you know. Yeah?
A gang of cops just came in the lobby. They asked for you.
Must be the reserve men from Metropolitan. Tell them we'll be right down, Ford.
Okay.
You want us to handle it, Ed?
That's right. Do just as I told you. Spread them out over the whole area. Cover the streets, the alleys, the flop houses, restaurants, bars, everything. You got a description to go on. Find the man that fits it.
Right, Skipper.
Don't forget, the guy's a killer twice over. I don't think he'd hesitate on you. Be careful.
We went went down to the lobby, and Ed Backstrand gave the reserve men their orders. Then Backstrand left, and Ben and I took over. We picked up another half dozen men in addition to the men in the reserve unit. They were deployed over an area of a dozen square blocks. It was one of the toughest sections of the city. With a general description of the suspect, some of them were to travel on foot, some in cruiser cars. A few minutes before 1 a.m., there was a steady downpour. Visibility was bad. At 3 minutes past one, the manhunt was on. For the first 30 minutes, Ben and I cruised the general area between East 3rd and College Streets and Alameda and Figueroa. No sign. The rain kept on. We sat and listened to the calls come in.
12A, call your station. 12A, KMA 367. Attention, all units. Recovered license plates in the sixth column. 4, Young, 7690. 41R, 788 Standard Avenue, or 373. 41R, KMA 367. Unit 71, at 2816 West La Cienega, a 507 party.
What do you think, Joe? Any hunches?
I think he's still around, somewhere inside these 12 blocks. I'd bet on it.
Five?
All right, you're on.
Want to check out a couple of these bars along here? Getting on to closing time.
It's a good idea. Pull over, huh? All right, let's check them for the next couple of blocks, huh?
Right.
For the next 6 blocks until closing time, Ben and I checked every bar and every informant we met along the way. The questions got to be automatic. Have you seen a man answering this description? Tall, dark, about 5'11", 180 pounds, well-built, mustache, about 30 years old. The answer's got to be automatic, too.
Sorry, officer, I haven't seen him.
No, can't remember him. Try the place down the street.
We kept on checking the bars until they closed for the night. Then we started on the all-night restaurants and coffee counters. We did plenty of legwork for the next hour. Not a trace. About 2:30, the rain let up a little, and then it started in heavy all over again.
That finishes that block.
Yeah, I better get the radio on.
Yeah. Beautiful weather.
By the bucketful. You want to smoke?
Thank you.
Control 4 to Unit 80K.
Is
your location,
match?
Please.
Yeah, yeah.
80K, your location, KMA 367.
That's us, Joe. You want to take it?
Yeah, I got it. 80K to Control 4. 80K to Control 4. Our location, corner of Alameda and Commercial, KMA 367.
80K, stand by.
Something doing.
Maybe. No, hold on a minute.
Control 4 to 80K. Go to the crime lab, code 2.
80K to Control 4, KMA 367.
Crime lab. Maybe those prints paid off.
Well, I hope so. Let's go.
That killer sure picked fine weather to work in. Feels like I just been swimming in these clothes.
Yeah, I hope those guys in the crime lab have the heater on.
A hot bath and a warm bed lead me on.
Attention, all units.
Hold it. Let's get the radio.
Attention, all units. At 420 St. John's Place, a woman screaming. At 420 St. John's Place, a woman...
All right, double around, Ben. Hit the siren. I'll get the light.
Right, hold on. Left turn on the market, is that right?
Yeah, watch out for those car tracks are wet.
Hold on again.
The alley up ahead to your right, huh? All right, pull up, Ben. Put the street light over there.
There you are.
All right, come on. Let's go.
Officer, here.
All right, what happened? Let's have it.
This girl, Rita, she was coming home up the street. A man, he tried to grab her. He slashed her coat. Look at her. I saw him as he ran under the streetlight.
Where'd he go?
Down that way, down the alley, over that fence there. A big man.
Davis, you there?
Yeah, Joe.
All right, Ben, go with Davis. Circle behind the alley. See what you can find. I'll call in.
All right, come on, Dave.
Yeah.
Officer, look at her face. What's wrong with her?
Severe state of shock, it looks like. Get her in the house, huh? I'll call an ambulance. 80K to Control 4. 80K to Control 4.
Control 4, go ahead.
Direct all units in the vicinity to converge on area around St. John's Place from Jackson to Banning Street. A woman attacked by large man with knife. Suspect left scene on foot. Possibly still in area. Request ambulance. KMA 367.
ADK, Roger, stand by. Attention, all units. Attention, all units. Converge on area around St. John's Place, Jackson to Banning Street. ADK reports woman attacked by a large man with knife. Suspect left scene on foot.
In 3 minutes, the area around St. John's Place was surrounded. For the next hour, the men combed the neighborhood back and forth. Every building, every storehouse in the two square blocks was searched from basement to attic. No trace. The girl, Rita, was hysterical. She could give us only a bare description of her attacker. At 3:45 a.m., a detail was assigned to patrol the area, and the rest of the cars and men were deployed again in the general area from Figueroa to Alameda Street and East 3rd to College Street. The manhunt went on. So did the rain. At 3:54, Ben and I checked in at the Old City Jail building, second floor, the crime lab. Chief Ed Backstrand and Lee Jones were waiting for us.
Heard about the call. How'd he get away?
Not sure it was him, Skipper.
How do you mean?
Well, the girl wasn't hurt bad for one thing. No attempted strangling. For another thing, the guy stole her purse. That doesn't sound like the man we're after.
Did you get a description from the girl?
Didn't jibe too well what she gave us. She's pretty hysterical.
And you raked the neighborhood good?
Every corner. Not a sign. You find anything?
Yeah. Jones?
Yeah, Ed.
Fill him in, will you?
Not one print on that knife you found, boys. Blood, but not a print. Your killer's crazy like a fox.
How about the scrapings from the girl's fingernails, Lee?
Didn't help too much. Rarely do. Not enough to go on. Gotta have a fair-sized bit of flesh to run it for papal ridges. All we found under the girl's fingernails were small bits of skin.
Yeah?
She probably scratched the guy up some. Might have drawn blood. We had more luck with the footprints.
You get an impression?
Dried out the ground with torches and cast them. About size 10B.
That's fine, Lee. But how about the prints?
Only good one was a thumb. Real good. Got it off the wall near the light switch in the bathroom.
You classified it yet?
Yep. Found it in our single fingerprint file. The print belongs to a man by the name of Long. Robert Long.
You got a record, Ed?
Yeah. Misdemeanor. Two arrests for drunkenness last October. Petty theft in December. The mama sheet shows a dishonorable discharge from the United States Coast Guard in 1946. Age 29... 192 pounds, 5 feet 10 inches, dark hair, dark eyes.
That's close enough.
We got even closer, Joe. Long works as a counterman at the Cottage Cafe down on South Flower. Started there last week on the early morning shift, but he didn't show up for work last night.
Good. Where'd you get the tip?
The knife you boys found. Didn't have any prints, but it had a brand on it. We ran it down. It was taken from the Cottage Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Any address on this Robert Long, Ed?
Yeah, got it from his boss. Rooming house on East 1st. Landlady says he hasn't been home in 2 nights.
Now we wait.
Rooming house is staked out, and so is the Cottage Cafe, just in case Long decides to show up for work this morning. What time you got, Romero?
4:06.
All right. We've got every indication that Robert Long's the man we're after. His description, fingerprints, the knife, the footprint, his size. Maybe we're wrong. I don't think so.
How about a motive, Ed?
I think Robert Long likes to kill. He's thirsty for it. None of the victims were criminally attacked. They were strangled. Bodies mutilated.
How about robbery?
No. Two of the women he killed had money in their purses. He didn't touch it.
Well, what's next, Skipper? Back on the street?
Figueroa to Alameda. East 3rd to College Street. Keep a net around that area and work it back and forth until we're positive he's not inside. I think he is.
At 4:10, Ed Backstrand, Ben, and I left the crime lab and drove to the surrounded area. It was still raining. We passed several patrolmen from the reserve unit making the rounds. They didn't look any more comfortable than we felt. At Broadway and Alpine Street, Ben and I got out and started patrolling on foot again. Backstrand followed in the car to maintain a radio check. We must have covered 2 dozen blocks and a half a dozen coffee counters before we got to the Criterion Restaurant and Donut Shop, a few blocks up the street from the Cottage Cafe.
Hey, Skipper. You want to take a minute for some hot coffee? I'll keep an ear on the radio.
You two go ahead. You look drenched.
Yeah, we are. Can we bring you some back in a paper carton?
Fine, thanks. Cream. No sugar.
All right, Ed. Come on, Ben.
Place is empty.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. What'll it be? Hot coffee?
Yeah, there's two of us here. Can you fix up one to go?
Sure thing.
Say, on that one to go, cream, no sugar.
Right. Say, you fellas cops?
Yeah, why?
No offense, just wondering. Here you are.
Thank you.
Cop in uniform was around a couple hours ago. Wanted to know if I'd seen some guy he was looking for.
Tall, about 190 pounds, mustache, about 30 years old.
Yeah, that's the description he gave me. He was looking for the guy.
So are we.
Say, that's good. That other cop came in right at my busiest time, a little after 2 when the bar's closed. You know, it gets pretty rushed, and I didn't have much time to think, so I just said no. Then after the cop left, I remembered.
You saw a man answering that description tonight?
Yeah. I would have told the cop, but I was rushed. You know how it is. No time to think, and then I remembered.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm sure, all right. Whoever he is, he's a lady killer.
What do you mean?
No offense. It was a sharp-looking dame down the end of the counter, and this guy breezes in and picks her up. Talks to her about 20 minutes, buys her a cup of coffee, and they walk out together.
Do you remember what she looked like?
Oh, nice-looking dame. Not beautiful, you know. More on the cute side.
Ben, you got that morgue shot?
Yeah. Here it is.
Thanks. Here's a picture. This the girl?
Let's see. Yeah, that's her. Who is she?
I don't know, mister. Down at the morgue, they call her Jane Doe, number 7. Just by accident, we'd come across a concrete lead on the killer's method of operation. The picture we showed the man in the donut shop was a shot of the strangler's first victim the night before. Evidently, the killer would enter a bar, coffee shop, or restaurant, strike up a conversation with a woman, make friends with her, either buy her drinks or invite her to a bar in the neighborhood, and then the rest of the puzzle was still unsolved. We went back to the cottage cafe and checked with the men on stakeout.
Not a sign of them, Chief.
How are you men covering the place?
Baxter up in front in the booth across from the cash register. Lyman's back with the dishwashers. I'm at the counter.
When's Long due to report for work, Dave?
At 5. About 20 minutes to go.
You're lucky you're inside. It's wet out there.
You're looking.
All right, Davis. We'll be around about 5.
Right, Chief.
Let's get back in the car.
Where to, Skipper?
Cruise the next 2 blocks, but don't go too far. If Long shows up for work this morning, we want to be around.
The next 10 minutes dragged by. The rain kept on. Backstrand chewed nervously on a cigar. At South Flower and First Street, the sewers were clogged with street refuse. The rain backed up and filled the intersection. A group of aircraft workers huddled together in a doorway on one corner, waiting for the bus. It was cold and damp. I opened one of the back windows in the car to get some fresh air in. Off in the distance and close by, we could hear the sounds of a big city waking up slow to a rainy January morning. It was 5:08.
Attention all units. Attention all units. At 780 East Main, a restaurant. Man answering description of murder suspect.
All right, Romero, step
at
on it.
Right, Skipper. East
Main, about 10 blocks away, Ed. Who's going to cover the men at the cottage cafe?
If this is a blind lead, it won't take us long to find out. They can handle it alone if they have to. Well,
hang on. Look out. We're skidding.
That was a close one, Ben.
Yeah. If this is the guy, I owe you $5, right?
Yeah.
Additional information on your call to 780 East Main. Officers in pursuit of suspect. Suspect is on foot.
Step on it, Romero.
Two more blocks, Skipper.
Watch it, Ben. Next one to the left.
Got it.
That's the joint up ahead there.
All right, watch your step and don't take chances. Don't play with him.
Right.
Here we go.
He went out the back. Ran down that alley.
Come on, Ben.
Behind you.
You men, hustle it. Circle around the block and choke off the alley. Fast. Emerson, boom. Go with him. Right.
All right, over the fence, Ben. Ben, look out, look out. You all right?
He's not that good. Come on, Joe.
All right.
There he goes. Between the buildings.
Stop or I'll shoot.
The next house. He ducked into the basement.
All right, cover me.
Right.
Come on, he broke through the garage doors.
There's Davis. Dave, he slipped through. Get down to the next corner and ring the block.
Yeah.
Ben, did you follow him?
Yeah, right on his tail, that warehouse. Couple of lots over. He went through the back. There it is, Joe.
All right, don't go in blind. Watch out. All right, you haven't got a chance. Come out with your hands up.
He's not stopping, Joe.
All right, let's fan out. All right, Ben, cover me. I'm going for the door. All right, Ben, come on. You're clear. You spot him? There he is. Let's get him.
Close. He's in a good spot. Let's move.
He's up in the loft. Come on, let's head for the stairs.
Will you?
Easy. You spot him, Ben?
No. Not a sign.
Ben, look out, that packing case!
Kind of close, huh, Joe?
Yeah. Let's get that punk now.
Look out, Joe, there's another one!
All right, you! We got the warehouse surrounded. Come on down! All right, then, we'll blast you out.
Joe, he's dropping down the ladder. He's going for the front door.
They're waiting for you with Tommy guns out there. They'll cut you down. Stop!
Joe, he's got the door open. He's making a break for it.
He's crazy. He's trying to shoot his way out.
Well, he asked for it.
Yeah. Let's take a look. Messed up.
Like his girlfriends.
Yeah. Maybe he just didn't like women.
Maybe. Hi, Ed.
You all right?
Tired.
This is him, huh? Even the scratches that girl made on his face. Description match?
5'10", 192 pounds, dark hair, dark eyes, age 29. Robert Long, killer.
The story you have just heard is true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
You have just heard the 10th in a new series of authentic cases transcribed from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet is furnished by the Los Angeles Police Department.
Tonight's program is dedicated to Detective Lewis A. Abbott of the Chicago Police Department, who on the afternoon of March 3rd, 1947, gave his life so that yours might be more secure.
Dragnet came to you from Los Angeles. If you enjoyed tonight's production of Dragnet, you'll probably want to listen this Saturday evening to a pair of adventure shows featuring two well-known Hollywood personalities. You'll enjoy Brian Donlevy, star of Dangerous Assignment. Also on Saturday's schedule is Richard Diamond, private detective, as played by the screen's romantic tough guy, Dick Powell. Listen to both of these exciting programs this Saturday over most of these NBC stations. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.